What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto. And this week is very special because we're bringing you the thrilling conclusion to Murder Mansion. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the goings-on here at Weekly Spooky. Recently, we've joined Spreaker Prime. They're a podcast host and service provider that is helping us get advertising and promotion for the show. It's very exciting after almost 150 episodes to change up what we do and how we do it just a little bit. Truth be told, it's a game changer for the show, and I'm so excited for what lies ahead. Please keep an eye on this feed and make sure you're subscribed because there'll be brand new shows, bonus shows, and so much more coming right here at no additional charge. But if you want to support the show a little bit more directly, go to the brand new weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to creepypasta bonus episodes, behind-the-scene looks at what we do, and so much more, as well as my undying gratitude. And while you're on weeklyspooky.com, why not click on the Strickfield book? Because that's right, my friends. We've released a tome of 40 Strickfield stories from the show and beyond. If you love this Strickfield universe, you'll want to collect the book, available at weeklyspooky.com and Amazon. Well, my friends, I think we've almost arrived at the gates of Grim Manor. So let's listen to the story after these quick words.
Previously on Murder Mansion.
Bethany Martinson is returning to Strickfield after spending a weekend in Shore City. It's a very dark and stormy 4th of July night as she's almost home when she's forced to take a detour. She hits a car in the middle of the main road. Upon seeing that the vehicle has dead people inside from well before she had wrecked into it, she walks in the storm until she comes to Grim Manor and enters. Trapped inside the mansion, she meets up with three former detectives that she has a history with, and the owners themselves, August and Dorothy Grimm. Bethany is escorted to a bedroom where she goes to sleep. In the middle of the night, Bethany decides to explore the mansion. As she crosses the living room, she sees both Dorothy and August Grimm are dead, hung by their necks. Shortly after, a ghostly apparition appears to snatch Bethany and take her away. The three former detectives are racing against Bethany to try and find the hidden fortune of Beauregard Grimm. They end up in the attic where they narrowly escape from their near-death experience. They then see things that make them regret coming to Grim Manor and manage to escape to the seemingly endless graveyard out back. Back in the mansion, Bethany survives and manages to solve her way through a few more challenging escape room scenarios. However, the apparition returns for her. As she tries to run, a trap door opens and makes Bethany fall to what seems to be certain death. And now, the conclusion of Murder Mansion by Rob Fields. I don't know what really happened. I just know that I fell into this black void. I couldn't see a floor or anything. Now I sit up and see I'm in what looks like an attic. I stand up and look around. How many attics have I been in my life? I remember how Mom and Dad set me up in the attic when we moved to North Ridgeway. That was around the time when they were having me tested so that people in white coats could tell me I have a mutant brain and belong in a special school for the gifted. Now that I'm in this particular attic, I'm reminded that I'm potentially in terrible danger. It's obvious I'm in another escape room and have to figure my way out. Then I see the obvious door and make my way to it. I grab the knob and start to open it. Suddenly, the door yanks itself out of my hand and slams shut. "Ah, come on," I mutter. And then the weirdest thing happens. The door suddenly becomes sucked right into the wall until it's gone. And now there's only the wall itself. Like there was never a door to begin with. Remembering this house has power, I look around and find a light switch. After turning the lights on, I look around some more. I see something weird in the far corner near the window, like something's moving. I walk to it and see a full-length mirror behind some stuff. I gasp at the reflection looking back at me now, with purple hair and red eyes. Remembering that hall of mirrors, I quickly back away from it. "You can never escape me, Bethy," my reflection has a Brooklyn accent. "You and me are together for life." I shake my head quickly. "Go away, Harpy. You're evil. Why are you torturing me like this?" "Call Harpy what you want. I just want to experience life the way you do. You can't keep me locked away in our body forever, sissy. It's just as much Harpy's body as it is yours." I tighten my fists. "No. You're evil. How do I know you didn't kill August and Dorothy Grimm?" Harpy laughs and smiles her wicked smile. "Accuse Harpy all you want, Bethy. However, you got a bigger problem to deal with right now." She points to her right, my left. "Look." I see the floor is starting to move in that other corner. And then my stomach drops fast. "Spiders!" I scream. "Oh my God, not spiders!" My heart really is pounding, and I'm so dizzy. Then my eyes roll up in the back of my head as I pass out from extreme fright. I open up my eyes and sit up. Those spiders are almost a harpy, and they ain't coming to me because they want to get friendly. No, they're black widows. Harpy's here, and she's in full control now. No way things are ending like this. I quickly move to my feet, which actually scares the spiders, so they back off. Boo. Then more of the creepies move away. They want nothing to do with Harpy. They could get Bethy because she's always been scared of spiders, but not Harpy. Harpy ain't scared of nothing. Time to get out of here. I look around and see a portrait of Dorothy Grimm to the left of a trunk on the floor, and I go examine it. There's a number there on the frame. 39. Numbers are clues. The lady in the portrait's pointing right at Harpy. Then I spin around and see the trunk behind me. The spiders keep moving around. They want Harpy, but they're afraid of her. Without another thought, I grab the lid and rip it right off. Hey, there's a ladder in here. I get inside the trunk and start climbing down. When Harpy reaches the bottom, she's in a corridor. Only got two directions to move. I see the burning torches lighting the way and follow them. I turn down one corridor and then another. Harpy walks for many minutes. Then I remember August Grimm's story about how people who die in this area come to this place. Well, Harpy ain't dying, and Harpy ain't letting Bethy die neither, but Harpy's got a problem now. Harpy's getting hungry, and she's got to eat just like Bethy. I'm thinking lots of sweets, but Harpy's got to get out of here first. I follow the torches and come out a secret panel to end up back in the house and on the first floor. Suddenly, that phantom that's been shaking up Bethy appears. Aw, it wants to play with Harpy. I scream in delight and run. The phantom starts chasing, all while laughing like in those scary movies Bethy watches. "Harpy'll play with ya,"
I call over my shoulder. Come on. The Phantom keeps chasing Harpy. I turn down another hallway and keep running. When I see the Phantom's hand almost to my shoulder, I laugh a little. Oh, you want to play tag? Then Harpy runs faster. I reach a door at the end of the hall and open it. When Harpy slams the door shut, the Phantom floats right through it and keeps laughing. Then I move to another door and open it to take me out into the storm. Yes, Harpy is free! I laugh joyfully as I experience being outside for the first time ever. Yeah, Harpy's all wet now. The clothes I'm wearing are clinging to my sexy chassis. But now, that Phantom ain't chasing Harpy no more. I want to play with the Phantom again, but I just have to be out here now. Let me out! God damn you, Harpy, let me out! Ain't happening, Bethy, I say. It's Harpy's body now, and it's Harpy's world to play in. I know what happened now. You got out somehow and killed August and Dorothy Grimm. I know you did. I sigh. You know, Bethy, as much as I want to stay out here and be free, I think I'm going to give you control back after all. You're smart, so I know you'll learn the truth. I'm mad now. Never point your fingers at Harpy unless you can back it up, Bethy. I feel myself in control again. Oh my God, it's so cold and wet out here. I hold myself and shiver as I start to walk a little. Soon I see three figures making their way toward me. It's the three former detectives that I've bested in the escape rooms. Ed Smith, John Riddle, and Brian Davenport. When they see me, they come right to me. Forget about trying to get out through the cemetery, kid, Ed Smith tells me. Yeah, we tried and tried, Brian Davenport says. There just ain't no way out of here. Looks like you're stuck here with us, little girl, John Riddle mutters. And then my mutant brain turns on the light bulbs again. Something's wrong here. I've read plenty of science books and seen enough movies to know that these men aren't wet in the slightest. It's been raining like Niagara Falls ever since I got within 30 miles of Strickfield coming home. The lightning flashes again, same as earlier. I keep remembering my accident. The accident. Oh my God. That's it. I know exactly what happened with that car in the road now. I look at the men. You want to know why you can't get out of here? It's really quite simple. You're all dead. The men are quite surprised by my statement. Have you finally lost it, little girl? Riddle demands. Have you turned stupid now? I laugh a little. Let me point out a few things here. I raise my hand and touch my index finger. One, in case you haven't noticed, it's raining like a really good 4th of July fireworks show, complete with explosions and booms. Now, how about you three take a good look at each other? Your clothes aren't even wet. The rain's just sloshing everything, including me. In fact, I'm cold and soaked right to my bones. My glasses are wet. I'm even trying to keep my hair from matting to my face. Are we understanding the big picture here yet? The men look at each other now. Then they look back to me. I tap my second finger. Two. I'm hungry. My monster tummy's been growling for a good half hour now. When was the last time you three felt like eating a good meal? Do any of you even like drinking that cheap liquor I've smelled on your breaths at the escape rooms we've met up in the past? And for second, I've eaten two huge meals since I got here. I tap my third finger. Three. You want to know how I actually came to Grimm Manor? It's how I know that the three of you are dead. I tell them about coming home from Shore City and having to take the detour to get back home. But then, I ended up hitting a car that was right out in the middle of the road, I continue. Since my car was wrecked, I got out and took a look. The car I hit was burned out. Completely. There were three charred skeletons inside. Those skeletons were you three, weren't they? Let me guess how this happened here. You three were on your way out here since you like to hunt for treasure in addition to trying to best me in escape rooms. Yeah, I know all about the treasure hunting. I've seen your pictures in the papers for that, And good for you, by the way. Getting back to now, you three were on your way here to Grim Manor to look for Beauregard Grimm's fortune. The way the front end of the car was totaled, you three were going way too fast. Not a good idea on a road that's really wet, with lots of dangerous curves. But you went off the road and slammed into a tree. Your momentum brought you back onto the road. The car exploded upon either hitting the tree or when you came to a full stop on the road. You three were burned alive in the vehicle because you couldn't get out. I didn't see a car out front when I came here. Unless you stashed it somewhere before coming here yourselves. Prove me wrong. You three became ghosts and found your way here to Grim Manor. August Grimm said that ghosts tend to find their way here. You three certainly did. I don't know how long you were here before I arrived, but you three didn't look the least bit wet. I was soaked through to my bones. Or don't you remember that Dorothy Grimm took me to get some fresh clothes? I tap my pinky finger. 4. I reach out to touch the men. The look on their faces are priceless. When my hand passes right through each of them, I rest my case. I raise my thumb. And 5. Why did you all get fired from being detectives? Because you don't pay much attention to details. And details are so very important. If you did pay attention to details, you would have figured this out by yourselves already. Having mentioned details, I've just made a startling realization. The men are still shocked at having been proven they're ghosts. I look at them and wave. Ta-ta! I'm going back inside to finish solving this mystery. I turn around and head back inside the manor. I walk until I'm back in the big living room. I still don't see the bodies of August and Dorothy Grimm hanging here. Okay, Beauregard Grimm, I yell. Show yourself! I know the truth now. Suddenly, the phantasm that's been haunting me drops down right in front of me and looks me right in the face. I'm not afraid of you anymore, I tell it defiantly. Get lost. The phantasm begins to charge. In seconds, it becomes August Grimm. When I first entered this house and found all of you here, you were already ghosts. You and your wife and the three men. I'm the only living person here, I tell him. All this time, August, it's been you. I point to the portrait behind him. You are Beauregard Grimm. You've got a beard there, but you don't have one now. Or is your real name August Grimm? Dorothy's ghost now appears right beside him. It's time you heard the rest of the story, young lady, August concedes. I'm listening, I reply. You know now that Dorothy and I are since departed, August says. You see, when you're a war deserter, people don't tend to forgive and forget. It'd take some of my fellow soldiers quite a while, but they finally came across me and Dorothy, they did. By then, Grim Manor had been standing as you see it now. Those men broke in and found Dorothy and me. You know what became of us from there. I look at the place where I first saw them hanging. I'm so sorry this happened to you both, I say with a heavy heart. August had the last laugh, darling, Dorothy says with some humor. Greed can make people do almost anything. They tried looking for August's fortune. August is Beauregard's middle name, in case y'all hadn't figured that out yet. Anyway, our murderers ended up in the trapped rooms and died when they couldn't figure their way out. Now their souls are here, just like the many others who've come here and will continue to come here. Then I've got my concerns. I wasn't here to look for your fortune. All I wanted to do was get out of the storm, call for help, and maybe get some food. Yet, you put me in all those rooms and scared the hell out of me. Why? Because you was an intelligent young lady, August replies. Those men who found their way here brought you up, they did. Said you solved trapped rooms. He smiles. We'd never let any harm come to you. I just wanted to see if you could solve and survive all the rooms. As of now, you're the first. Not only that, Dorothy adds, you also found all the numbers. That was my idea. That's right, August cheers. And if y'all can figure out how to use them, you may just end up leaving here with my fortune after all. Now I feel excitement. I can leave? You're immortal, child, Dorothy replies. You were just here to take shelter from the storm. Like August said, we'd never let any harm come to you. But you kept me trapped inside this house, I argue. I done told you about them front doors twice, August replies. They tend to stick real good like that when it rains heavy. When the storm's over, you'll be able to walk right on out of here. If and not for that, you'd have been free to go whenever you liked. Dorothy raises her finger. The clothes you were wearing when you came here are all nice and dry now. She looks past me. Well, it's looking like the storm's clearing up. It's going to be morning soon. She takes my hand in both of hers. We gotta be getting along now. We appreciate you coming and spending time here at Grim Manor. Ain't often we get mortals that come here, you know. Goodbye to you, child, August says. Don't forget to claim what's rightfully yours before you leave. You earned it. August and Dorothy disappear, leaving me all alone now. I walk through the house and make my way to the back doors. I look outside to the graveyard and see nobody's out there. Even the three former detectives are gone. They're a part of Grim Manor now and have to leave when the night's over. They'll return when it's sunset, I'm sure. I definitely want my own clothes. I move and head back up to my room. I walk in and see my clothes are laid out for me at the foot of the bed, all folded nice and neat. I yawn and am so tempted to just get naked and get back in this comfy bed again. I've been up nearly all night and I want to go to sleep. Then my tummy says, don't even think about it. Also, I remember how Harpy took over in the attic. I won't be able to sleep knowing she can take over again. Then I see her in the mirror again. Purple hair and red eyes. You ain't never getting rid of Harpy, sissy, she says. Where you go, Harpy goes. I groan. I can't believe I've got multiple personality disorder. Why me? Harpy laughs. Harpy's got personality, honey, but I sure ain't one of your personalities. Wake up, will ya? I'm your fucking sister. I put my hands to my ears. I don't hear you! Have it your way. Now get us out of here and go eat, will ya? We ain't done. We'll never be done. We'll always be a part of each other. For better or worse. When I look in the mirror again, Harpy just smirks. I ignore her and remove my soaked Civil War era clothes. After putting my original clothes back on, I wipe the remaining rainwater off my glasses. When I put them back on, I look at the portrait of Beauregard Grimm again. It can't be that easy. Can it? I reach out and find I can open the portrait like a small door. And there's a safe here. Yeah, I guess it was that easy. At least, this part. However, I could never open the safe without having been through those escape rooms. That's what those numbers I found represent. The combination to the safe is 38-6-24-39. I quickly work the permutations in my head and come up with all the possible combinations using those four numbers. I only have to work the dial with the order I found the numbers. I turn the lever and I open the safe. My heart is really pounding now. I take out a few stacks of bills from way back when. This old money's gotta be worth a lot in today's money. I almost wondered if it was worthless Confederate money. But it's not. I hadn't given any thought to hunting for this money. I hadn't even known about it until August Grimm told the story. If those detectives were still alive, they'd have many more reasons to be pissed off at me now. I find two suitcases big enough to put all of the money in and close everything back up. Just looking at all this money, My tummy growls again to remind me of what I'm going to be spending both this fortune and my escape room prize money on. Okay, I'm not likely going to eat up all the money for quite some time. I can honestly say I'm rich now, at least for the time being. When my tummy rumbles and starts hurting, I know it's time to go. I take the suitcases of money and head down to the front doors. I try the knobs and find both doors open quite easily. It's dawn, and the storm is gone. I step outside and close the doors behind me. Then I walk back to the road. I'll have to flag somebody down who can call me a tow truck. No way, I cry when I reach the road. My car is sitting on the side of the road, and the car I ended up hitting isn't even there. My car doesn't even look damaged. I load the suitcases and get in. The car starts right up. Yes! I shriek happily. The downside, however, is that my smartphone is still damaged. I'll just have to buy a new one later on when I'm back in Strictfield. I follow the detour signs and eventually enter Strictfield. I never thought I'd be so happy to see this beautiful village again. My tummy really growls and starts hurting more as I make my turn onto the main road. And see, DeNoyer's Grill. I waste no time in getting into that parking lot and getting inside. The smells of heavenly breakfast foods hit me right in the face. Once I'm seated, I order 4 breakfast platters, 2 pitchers of orange juice, and some coffee to get me started. You get such great value for your money here at DeNoyer's Grill. That's why people love coming here so much. That, and the food is just amazing. And with all the money I've got, I'll be eating good here for quite some time. This was truly a 4th of July to be remembered, indeed. However, I'm not okay. I can still feel the vengeful harpy inside me, waiting for her opportunity to take over again. I can keep her contained inside me, but for how much longer? I hope you enjoyed the wrap-up of Murder Mansion, Weekly Spooky's second mini-series, and based on all of your reactions, there will be more to come in the very near future. In case you missed it earlier, go to weeklyspooky.com and check out a brand new piece of merchandise, our first ever official Weekly Spooky book. It's a tome, really. Over 500 pages of the lore of Strictfield. 40 stories, 38 of which have aired on this show, and 2 which are exclusive to the book. Make sure to check it out at weeklyspooky.com, or you can search Horrors of Strictfield on Amazon.com and get yourself a copy. I want to say a humongous thank you to our Patreon backers. We are up to 84 backers, and I'd love to see 100 by the end of the year. So maybe consider going to weeklyspooky.com and clicking on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us keep on keeping on with the spooky. And speaking of Patreon, I want to say a big thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who pay just a little bit extra to hear their names at the end of the show. They are Christopher Sullivan, Brent McCullough, Gino Lyons, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, and Kevin Fry. Thank you all so much for allowing me to do this every single week and beyond. That's right. There are going to be some brand new bonus episodes coming to the feed very, very soon, thanks to our partnership with Spreaker Prime. And over the next few weeks, I'll start to drop some hints about what those shows will be and what they will contain. But for now, mystery is king. And I've got to get out of here. So for myself, for our producer, Dan Wilder, for our composer, Ray Mattis, and our executive producer, Rob Fields, I will talk at you next week.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.